right. Hey, everybody. This is Sister Nayera. I am here tonight once again with Heal on Purpose podcast, owned and produced by the Repair of the Black Family. We show up every single week to help you eradicate generational trauma, drama, limiting beliefs, and self-sabotaging behavior patterns. Tonight, as we air episode number 27, Against the Odds, I am truly excited because the guest that we have tonight is not only a sister, a friend, a nurse, a wife, a mother, but she's my baby sister. And tonight we are going to bring it to you. So I'm asking that you go ahead, if you know how to do it, when you come on the podcast with Sister Nayera, your transformational life coach and speaker, get your cup of tea. Make sure that you have a pen and some notes so that you can take notes. We want you to be able to fully engage with us. And make sure if you have any questions that you go ahead and drop into the chat so that we can answer your questions. Tonight, I'll be speaking with Crystal Green. We're talking about Against the Odds. Crystal is a nurse practitioner. She's a wife. She has 7 beautiful children. That's right, y'all. 7. And tonight she's going to tell her story on how she got over, how she was able to go from her childhood experience to raising 7 beautiful children, being married, and then ultimately becoming a nurse practitioner and a business owner. You know, the road to success is not easy. And when you are on a road to success, it's always good to have a blueprint, to have a plan, and better yet, to have an example. And tonight, I bring forth to you a beautiful example in Sister Crystal and Crystal Green, my baby sister. So I'm excited. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on tonight. Crystal, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, you're on a platform right now. You are my platform, girl. Hey.
Hey, thank y'all so much.
Okay, so y'all might be looking at the screen and seeing that you see twins, but you know, I'm older than her. And so, Crystal, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, because I know that you got a busy schedule and I had to really lock you in tonight, right? But taking time out of your schedule to share your story. And as we go on tonight, I want you to tell the audience who you are and how you show up in the world. Like, who are you? Who is Crystal Green?
You know, sometimes, Sister Nayera, I ask myself that, you know, like, who am I? You know, because I'm always transforming myself into something different. That's my drive, to be different. But the basis of who Crystal really is, outside of being a go-getter and a goal-getter,
okay.
I'm a mother. I have 7 children, ages. My oldest is 26. Believe it or not, I have a 26-year-old child. Okay, then I have a 23-year-old. Then I have a 19-year-old son. 16-year-old son, 14-year-old daughter, 12-year-old son, and then my baby, which we all call 7 because he's number 7. He's 9 years old.
That's my 7.
You know, who is Crystal? I'm a nurse practitioner. I've been in nursing over 20 years. Just to go ahead and dive right into, you know, my career per se. I started off in nursing, like I said, I've been in it over 20 years. I started off as a CNA, and I'm gonna give y'all all the backstory.
Well, hold on. I know we're gonna get there.
That's
I understand. That's definitely something that we want the audience to have a full picture of.
Okay,
but you know, you getting to that point wasn't an easy journey, right?
And so
with that being said, I just want to get the audience to know who you are. Now I know you as my baby sister, okay. And you come up in a household with 5 siblings.
Yep, I got 5 siblings.
Okay.
I'm a spiritualist. I own my own business. I am in school currently for my doctorate's degree in nursing. I'm down to earth. I'm one of these type of people that I like to help everybody. I don't want to say I don't believe in the word no, but I when no come up as opposition in my life, I try to find a different obstacle or a different way to prove that I could go against what no is, as far as making it happen. You know, I'm one of those people where I like to make it happen.
Absolutely. And so tonight's program, family, is called Against All Odds. And as you can see, she's been able to accomplish that against all odds. So, Crystal, tell us a little bit, you know, tell my listening audience a little bit how you grew up, right? Some of your from your trauma or drama to you. Let's just start when you was younger. Let's start there. Tell me a little bit about how you was younger. What was your personality type? Show us the 10-year-old little Crystal.
Okay. So Crystal in her younger days was always been a firecracker. You know, like I pop off, you know. That was Crystal in her younger days. I was raised in the south side of St. Pete, born and raised in St. Pete. I grew up mostly in the Botley Park area. If anybody's from St. Pete, then you'll understand where I'm coming from, 9th Street area. I liked it to run track. I went to elementary school. I would kind of bounce around with elementary, but mostly I went to Melon Middle School, and then I transformed, went to St. Pete High School for a year, and then went to Lakewood. When I got in my high school year, you know, I was a rebellious child. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, everything was perfect and I listened to my parent every day, because that I would be sitting here telling you guys a false story. I was very rebellious. I was always the one to go against what I felt was, I didn't want to listen. I didn't want nobody to tell me what to do. I wanted to do it on my own, you know, and figure it out on my own. Rather, I bumped my head 10 times over. I was just that person as a kid coming up. You know, they say, don't climb the tree. And I'd be like, I'm going up that tree. I don't care what nobody says. And, you know, I had to learn the hard way. At the end of the day, when I fall and get a knot on my head, then I understood why they was telling me not to climb the tree. But going back to who I am from a child perspective, I was, like I said, raised in the Botley Park area. My grandmother, who is now deceased, was primarily the one who actually, I stayed in her house, you know, from the weekends to the summers. And then when my mom, she ended up moving down to South Florida. I was, once again, rebellious to go. I'm not going. I'm staying up here with my grandmother. So my mom, you know, she did what she thought was right. And she left me here with my grandmother. And my grandmother raised me from fifth grade to high school. When I got 16 years old, running track at Lakewood High School on my way to the Nationals, I found out I was pregnant with my first child.
How did that impact you? Here it is. You feel like you're making it, right? But then you find out.
Yeah, I was in my prime. I mean, I was fast. And when I tell you, if anybody know Crystal Green in St. Pete, they know I was fast. Like, I ran with the boys. I didn't want to race the girls. Once again, against odds, I want to race the boys, not the girls. But, you know, it impacted me to the sense of really, like, reality. Like, it hit, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have a baby. Like, you know, I'm not going to be by myself when it comes down to making decisions. I got to make decisions for a whole nother human being. And honestly, when I first found out that I was pregnant, I was still running track. I didn't want to believe that I was pregnant. But when it really hit, when I had my child, that I was that parent and I was responsible for getting up in the middle of the night, feeding my child, clothing her, making sure she had all the necessities to make it in life. And then I really understood what was life about. And you know what? I take that back. I wouldn't even really say I understood at that moment, because within 2 years later, because I had the help and the resources, my grandmother, she would watch her. And I didn't really feel the impact of really being a parent until I had my second child.
Right. Hold that thought. I want the listening audience to feel your story. Right. Okay. So you're 16, you have these dreams, these hopes and aspirations of running track. Right. Mm-hmm. Here it is. You like the fastest, one of the fastest girls in St. Petersburg. Right. You're going against the odds. You make it. And now you show up pregnant. You don't want to believe it.
I didn't want to believe it.
You in disbelief and you carry on. I'm gonna still do this. What emotional attachments, like, describe emotionally
Emotionally, I would have to say that I was scared. Mm-hmm. I was confused. I was lost. I felt lost in a sense, like, I don't know what I'm finna do now. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. man, I'm really pregnant, you know? Mm-hmm. And then in a sense, I also felt like I had ownership. Like, you know, like I felt the sense of ownership, like, oh, this gonna be my baby. Like, right. you know, ain't nobody gonna be able to tell me what to do with my child. Like, right. you know, and coming up, I always somewhat felt a sense of disconnect or having ownership. Like, you know, I always had to share a room with my siblings. Until I moved with my grandmother, but it was just always, I never really possessed anything of my own, you know?
Until, so here it is, you coming into, okay, I'm hurt. I got all this going on, but now I feel like I can own, I can possess something. I have a sense of beingness now, a sense right. of, I got exactly. this responsibility. Okay, I feel
that's you. Exactly correct. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that being said, and me having that sense of responsibility and ownership and saying that nobody ain't gonna be able to tell me what to do. You know, I always had that rebellious spirit where I felt like nobody couldn't tell me what to do, but I really felt like this is my child. Ain't nobody gonna be able to tell me what to do. And I have my own baby. This is what's gonna happen. You know, once I found out. So it was a lot of mixed emotions. Like, you know, I was young. 16 years old, I didn't really even understand what life was about to throw at me in that moment. But I'm telling you what, I found out quickly.
and that's typical. That's typical when we're talking about eradicating generational traumas and dramas and limiting beliefs. That's mm-hmm. typical, right? We show up, we may, you know, the unexpected happen. Right? Right. We show up pregnant and here it is, the whole world, my whole world unchanged.
Right.
Now I got to figure it out. Right.
Correct.
Because now correct. I have to somewhat, what I'm getting from you, and let me know, I stand corrected if I'm not saying this correctly, but I got to somewhat prove not only to myself, but others that I got this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm picking up from you. It's like a sense of leadership. Like, okay, I couldn't go down this way, but I got this part. Okay, good. Yeah, yep. Let's continue on with that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, like I was saying, after I, you know, I had the birth of my first child, my grandmother was very supportive. You know, my siblings were supportive. Everybody was supportive. Like, she had a lot of love and, you know, people always wanted her to. So I really never had that responsibility that I was looking for or I thought I was going to have. And I really didn't even feel like I had that ownership of her because everybody else had her more than I had her, you know? So then, once again, you know, being rebellious, going out, I met my second child's father. And in that relationship, I experienced abuse. Mm. I mean, you know, I grew up and I was exposed to abuse as a child, not from my parents, but my parents to parents. Not saying that my mom or dad abused me, but my mom and dad was very dysfunctional in a sense to where they, all I knew was conflict and somewhat anger. But then when the love was there, it was more so isolated love. So you sitting on the front porch, then you feel the love. But when they together, it was like cats and dogs fighting, you know? So when I got in,
now toxic.
Right, right. So when I got in my second relationship with, well, my second kid child's father, It was very difficult for me because I was still young. I was 17, you know, he was very abusive. But I thought it was cute. Like I didn't care about getting, I was a fighter anyways. I liked it to fight. So I thought it was okay that a dude would slap you in your face and then turn around and tell you, they love you. Like, okay, well, he must be really love me because he wouldn't hit me if this wasn't going on. And I was young, you know, I didn't understand the severity or the impact that it would have on my life, and I'll get more into it, but the impact it had on my life to experience such trauma at a young age. So
you're 17 and you're experiencing domestic violence. You on your second child.
Full domestic violence to the point where, you know, black eyes and bust mouths and running for my life and all kind of stuff. You know, it's just a lot of trauma. But then I end up getting pregnant with my second daughter. And throughout that whole pregnancy, I sustained abuse from him to the point where he would lock me in the house, lock me in closets, and just, I mean, really just beat me down. And but then, and on the other hand, he would turn around and be so good to me, because a person would ask, well, why would you stay in a situation like that? Because when it was good, it was good. But when it was bad, it was really bad. And so I always tried to fight to see the good in him and not really realizing that I'm affecting myself by experiencing the bad in him. Wow. So with that being said, you know, when my second daughter was born, that's when I really feel like the drive in having something and being something in life was created. Because at the moment I was going through the abuse, and the moment I was faced with the responsibility of, you know, my grandma said, I can't watch two kids, and I had to really have that child on my hip, or to lug that child on my hip, then I really realized the impact of what life really is. You know, so I'm just trying to think. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So what I'm tracking with you, right? So here it is. You're 17. You're your second baby. You are experiencing severe domestic violence. But in this domestic violence, you're a full participant. So it's not just you getting beat.
Oh yeah, it's not. I was a full participant in it. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, it was all him, because the minute that I had the opportunity to separate myself from the domestic violence, I always found a way to be back with him. Like, you know, oh no, we're going to make it work. And we try to recreate the wheel. And then all of a sudden it happens again and again and again.
Right. So you know, with that being said, I want to highlight something here. So with that being said, let's just take a moment, a pause, because I really want you to express to that girl that's in that relationship right now in her life. She's in that domestic violence relationship. Mm-hmm. She feels like this person really loves me, or that boy, right? Or that man is in that relationship. And this is the trauma bond that we have with one another, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to create something. We're going to make this work. But all of the signs are prevalent that this is a very, not just toxic, but it's a dangerous relationship. Talk to that girl. How did you shift your mindset? You know, you got into it, but how do you get that girl to realize that this trauma bond got to now be broken to get out of this relationship? Because it's not cute, as you said. It's not cute.
Absolutely.
It's not healthy. So talk to that girl or that brother.
So to that young lady, I would say definitely it's going to, you know, a million people could tell you, including me at this moment in this hour, could tell you that that relationship is not for you. But there's going to be a time in your life that you are going to, that one hit, that one word, that one feeling, where you go feel in the pit of your stomach that this is it. And you have to pay attention to that sign. See, a person, the thing about abuse and what I like to tell people is that when you in it, you, the more people tug and pull at you and tell you that this is not for you, you shouldn't do this, and you got to get out of that relationship, it's kind of like, especially if you have a rebellious spirit like I had, it's like, nobody can tell me what to do. I know my relationship. But I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. It's not for you, because every day it's like Russian roulette. You playing with your life, because it could be one time they hit you and you gone. You know, I was fortunate enough to make it out of the situation. But while you're in that situation, you have to think on it as if I need to be out of this as bad as I need to breathe. So as bad as you need to take a breath of air, I need to be out of this relationship. And if you sit there and you hold your breath for 10 seconds and you feel a struggle of not trying to, not getting the oxygen that you need, that's how bad you need to be out of that relationship. You know, I try to, when I was in the situation, and my family, my sisters, they know, they told me, you know, why are you going through that? Why would he hit you? Why would you go through this? I didn't see it as that. I seen it as love. And I understand, I'm talking to the person that's going through this right now. I understand where you're at in the situation. But that one time that you feel in the pit of your stomach, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to share this with the audience, because I want you to know that the one time that I felt it, when he told me that I would much you in front of all my friends, and he had a room full of guys in the room, I knew right then and there that no matter what, ain't no coming back from that. Because it's, you know, you build these, in an abusive relationship, you build boundaries, believe it or not. You have these boundaries of what you gonna really take and what you ain't gonna take. What would push you to call the police and what wouldn't push you to call the police. You know, so when that boundary was crossed, it was enough for me to say, oh no, if I don't stand for something, I'm gonna fall for anything. And I, like I said, when I had my second child, it was a lot of change in my life. It was a shift in my life and my mentality and how I thought and what I need to do to sustain life. Honestly, you know, I was out on my own, 17, almost 18 years old with two children and no high school diploma. Because remember, going back, I dropped out of high school. So I'm working at Waffle House. I'm getting beat up every day. I'm working at Publix. I'm working two jobs to sustain my life, like to make it happen. Because I, when I left my mom's house, I was determined not to go back. Knock on wood, I haven't been back since. That was a determination that I made, you know. So that same drive that I had, that I wasn't going to go back to my mom's house, I wasn't going to get back into living with my mama and depending on, you know, even though I stayed with my grandma, I was gung-ho not to go back to my mom's house. That was just that. And I took the abuse, and I took, you know, the dropping out of high school, and I took running from pillar to post, and until I made up in my mind stability, what I wanted. Mm-hmm.
Was that one of your first goal getter? Because you say I'm a goal getter. So
absolutely,
your first goal was stability.
It was stability. Mm. My first goal was to, you know, I had my apartments, and then the risk of always being evicted and. Thank God I never really got evicted, to be honest with you. But it was just all, it was a struggle. So, I will say then later in my life, you know, I got on some housing and programs, government programs that honestly, and I'm talking to the people that's on government programs at the moment, that I utilized it or used it to my benefit to get where I'm at today.
Let's talk about how you dropped out of school, because you, now we see that you got all these letters behind your name.
We see it on the screen.
So okay. Here it is. You're a high school dropout. You got two children because you got seven. Okay, so we're gonna get to number seven. So how did you go from being a dropout in high school? So, what made you get back in high school, and tell us that journey of you decided
to, you know, make a long story short, when I did drop out of high school, school wasn't on my mind. To be honest with y'all, as much education as I got right now to this day, I hated school from a child. I hated school, but the odds, against all odds, when somebody tell me what I can't and I won't do, I'm gonna show them.
You okay, know, so that rebellious spirit paid off. Okay.
That rebellious spirit paid off. It's still paying off right now to this day. Okay. But so when I dropped out of high school, Lakewood High School, one day I woke up, I was working for Waffle House, like I told y'all, and I was working at Publix. I was doing two jobs. And at the time, I was actually still pregnant with my second child. When she was born, I felt a sense, I went through a very bad postpartum depression, where I felt like everything was just on me. Like I just felt down and out, and I felt restricted to what I was trying to do in life. And I had to fight against myself to show myself that I would be successful. Like, you're not gonna lay down on this. I don't, you know, you got these feelings going on. You got all these different things running through your mind about where you're not at in life. I took that and I turned it into a positive, because I told myself, I said, well, self, you could either sit here and you could swim or sink. And I chose to swim, you know? So with that being said, when I went down to Thomason Adult High School, and I hated it. I went every day and I had these two kids and I would drop them off at my grandma's house and then go down there for a few hours and then have to catch the bus to go work at Publix and Waffle House. And then I was just exhausted. And then one day something told me just to go and challenge the test. Like, why are you going to keep going to school? If you know it, you know it. At least get a basis of where you're at. So I challenged the test and I passed everything but the math. Math, everybody I think have a problem with. But anyway, so it took me about a year to get at the level of which I needed to be at to pass the math on my GED. So I can remember right now to this day, because my mom, in the process of that, let me go back. In the process of that, I had to get a better job. So this mm-hmm. is my introduction into nursing. So mm-hmm. I was 17, almost 18 years old. I had an opportunity to go in at the time back in 99, they was offering certifications, not so much a licensure for CNA. So I got a certification at Jacaranda Manor for my CNA license. And back then they was paying $7 an hour. And I found myself, what made me want to go back to school and really get my high school diploma is because I wanted to go to the next level in nursing. So outside of my drive and my goal was to finish high school and to become an LPN. So I went and I was working, but I was working double shifts because remember, I'm out on my own. I got two kids. I'm in an abusive relationship and I'm working basically two jobs because I'm working from sun up to sun down. And so one day I had dropped my second daughter off to her grandmother's house. God bless her soul. And mm-hmm. she said to me, she said, aren't you tired of working two jobs? When would you ever have time for your children? Mm. And it hit me in the pit of my stomach because here it is. I'm just moving along in life and not really realizing the time that I'm losing with my girls. Like I'm working and I'm just trying to make ends meet. And here it is. I got this weight that's around my ankles that's beating me up, ain't working. And it's like, it was just dead weight, you know? So I said, okay, Crystal, you got to finish school because if not, you'll always be working just to make ends meet. So I got to increase my income. So I end up going to challenge the math test. And I remember the lady called me. These people, I had done did like three times. So they knew who I was. I would call them.
So you was persistent.
I was persistent and consistent in making yes. sure I finished my high school diploma. You know,
so that's what it takes, family. If you're listening and you got that goal that you just looks like life is in the way. It looks right. like you're not going to make it. It right. looks like everything, all of the odds are against you. But if you are, from what I'm getting from Crystal's story, if you are persistent and consistent, you're going to make it.
Absolutely. So
it takes a lot of self-determination because you said, I had to talk to myself. You know,
I had to talk to myself.
Some of us don't understand that inner motivation, you know.
That's right.
How you gotta, you know, I call it affirmation, how you gotta affirm everything that you want, you gotta keep affirming it every single day.
In this world, Sister Naira, I learned that ain't nobody gonna give it to you but you.
Okay, wait a minute, Crystal. Say that again.
Ain't nobody gonna give it to you but you.
Come on,
you got to get up and go get it. And believe me when I tell you, I'm going to talk more on this, but I want to take y'all through this story real quick. So once again, once I got to the point of getting my high school, I passed the math portion and I was so astounded and excited. And a lot of it, you know, I owe to my mother. I can't mm-hmm. take away what she pushed inside of me because see, a mother would, I got seven children, you know, and my sisters, they got multiple children. A mother understand that each one of their children, and I'm speaking to the mothers, have different personalities.
Teach.
You know what is going to drive your child to the next level. Certain things, some of them you could be soft with. You can't be too hard with this one because if you do, it's going to take them this way. You can't be too soft with this one. So you got that mother has to always find that right touch and stroke in order to make their child move forward. And my mom was my driving force to make me become an educated woman to this day. My mother was the one who always told me, and it sounds harsh, but I'm going to say it. She said, you ain't go. Remember, she knew I was a rebellious child. And everything that she told me, I went against. I did the opposite of. So right. she took that creativity and put it in me by saying the opposite things, as opposed to saying, baby, you could be whatever you want to be in life. She told me I wasn't going to be shit.
Okay.
I have to be honest. And you know what? I love my mama. I would lay down my life for my mama. And I thank her. I can't thank her enough for what she exposed, and excuse my French. I forgot I'm on the podcast, but I could be 100. I'm just like my mama. I look just like her. But she told me I wasn't going to be nothing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to have nothing but a bunch of churn, be barefooted and pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, when I tell them every time I would succeed to get something, mom, I got my CNA. She said, well, if you can get your CNA, you can get your LPN, but you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going to do nothing but have some churn. So then I said, oh, really? I'm going to show her. That's what she always say. You know, that rebellious spirit.
Right.
That's
right.
What she always say.
Right.
She ain't going to be nothing.
Right.
So then once I got my LPN, you know, I ain't gonna jump too far, but yeah. So
okay, to sum it all up, is you got all of these, you got all these degrees, you got all these letters behind
my
your
mother.
Because it's a lot to these letters. Okay, so we want you to go through the letters, but I have to highlight something about my mother, and I love this candid conversation. You're right; she treats each one of her children different. Because what she did to you, she know that ain't going to work for me. Okay?
Exactly.
it's like the world going to fall down if she did me like that.
She know that.
She has her ways of doing me. She has her ways. But each way, she know how to mold her children. So that's she right. was very skillful with you in saying these things to you to motivate, to drive you, to determine you.
To drive me.
That is the way she knew how to get the best out of you.
Exactly.
Right? And so with that being said, I bear witness, right? Because I'm your sister, so I know I can speak mm-hmm. on my mom and what that has done. Even to this day, she's so proud of you that she literally compare all that. See, Crystal, you know, like you the smartest one in the family. If we ain't got no degrees behind our name.
It's and like, I know, okay? I know for a fact my siblings.
Yes.
I got some smart siblings.
Yes,
I'm telling you, I know for a fact they smart. My brother is a genius in math. My sister could build a computer from scratch.
Right.
My other sister, well, we ain't gonna go down the line, but I know for a fact we got smart siblings. So I'm not the smartest. I'm gonna tell y'all the truth right now. I'm putting that on the web.
Right. But so nevertheless, you know, in the Black family, right? And we talking about our family, you gotta get it how you live. And my mom had to do what she needed to do to produce the product of you.
Yes,
and so being a mother, we got in mothers and fathers, but in particular the mother, she knows what she created in her womb, and she knew how to feed you the right type of food, the right milk to get you to become the valuable final product. So I'm very proud of you with that. Now you have a lot of these different letters behind your name.
This just come on. This ain't all of them. I got more to come. But
Now you went from being a dropout. You got it. You went from being a dropout, high school dropout, right? Now you done moved through high school. You have two children. You decided that you're gonna go to school. You get your CNA, and you start getting all of these different degrees. But in the process, you having babies.
I'm having babies. Every time I went back to school and got a different degree.
As you going through, not
every degree I had a baby behind.
Every degree you had a baby. make it make sense to me, because I'm just trying to say I was on the outside looking in. Okay, because every time we turned around, you was pregnant. Okay, but you were still in school. Tell us, what's the process? How did you do it?
Because
it's not possible. Tell us how you did that.
Well, the foundation was laid with my first two. You know, I knew that I wanted better in life. I knew I had to go back to school. So every time, you know, the income wasn't making sense with the outcomes, I had to say, okay, I got to do something to make, and not so much more money, but to show my children that regardless of what you're going through in the situations that you're in, no matter how hard it is and people tell you that you can't do it, that you honestly, you can do it. You know, so when I got my, like I said, I got my CNA, then I got my LPN. Once I got my high school diploma, I got my LPN. And that was a challenge for me. You know, I lost my grandmother during that time. My father had passed away and I was going through a divorce. So now during this process, and I had my third child when I was in LPN school, my first son, and I was married. I got married. And during this process, it was a very difficult time for me because, you know, my grandmother meant a lot to me. She was just everything to me at the moment, you know. And when she died, you know, I was already dealing with the death of my father and had not really healed from it. Then, boom, that impacted my grandmother. And then, boom, the impact of a divorce from this man who, you know, after I had not left my second baby daddy, then I met my husband. So after all of these different relationships and transitions in my life from being a, you know, a dropout to a LPN to being a divorced single mother of three, but pregnant with my four, because when he left, when we left or split up, I was pregnant with my fourth child. I didn't stop. I enrolled into RN school. You know, I was actually going to school simultaneously. I was going to two schools, St. Pete College and P-TECH at the same time. So I was in the LPN program, but I was taking my prereqs for St. Pete College because I knew I wanted to be an RN. I knew I wanted to go all the way to the top. Like, I wasn't going to stop, you know? So with that being said, once I went through that whole transition of a divorce, being married to the person who I thought honestly was going to be with me forever, I went through abuse with him too. Like it went from physical abuse to mental abuse, you know, the yelling, the screaming, the cursing and breaking stuff. You know, he wasn't physical, but the mental anguish of what I went through. But all in all, against those odds, I still kept going. Like, I was determined not to stop. I was determined. And you know, sometimes God would place people in your life, or you go through certain chapters in your life to build for the next chapter. Teach. He prepares you to build for your next chapter. So, you know, I tell people that's going through something right now and they feel like, okay, I can't make it. This is too much. I got too many kids. I'm going through a divorce, and you got all these reasons why you can't drive yourself to the next level. I ain't saying that everybody got to go to school. I'm not saying that. You don't have to go to school. Whatever your determination is and what you want to be in life, you have to be motivated, consistent, persistent, and keep going against all odds, because they're going to come up. You're going to have obstacles that's going to come up. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But I learned that through those trials and tribulations of that divorce, losing my grandmother, losing my mother, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, losing, well, she was like my mother, losing my father, I learned that I had to keep going, you know, and that's what I want to tell people. You got to keep going. So then I got into the RN program. I was pregnant. I had not had my fourth child, went through a divorce, started the RN program. And then I end up meeting my fifth daughter's father. So just to back up so I could catch y'all up. And I'm very proud of my life. I don't have no shame in anything that I've been through. So my first child that I have, her father was different from the second child. The third and fourth child, I was married to my husband. And we had two boys together. The fifth child, I end up meeting someone who I thought I would be with, and it was a relationship. And I honestly think that was more so emotional, that I was looking for that connection, and I end up having my daughter. So I went back to school. Like I said, I was in school, finished my RN, and then I met my husband. Now, do you want me to continue on? Or you want
okay,
me?
No. So, okay, we okay. Got it. So, right. Through the ups and downs, you went from dropout high school to now you have your RN. And each, you know, it's comical a little bit, but from each degree, you had a baby. Mm-hmm. But in that, you experienced domestic violence, right? Mm-hmm. You experienced, you know, different losses. You went through what most people would say, hey, I give up. But you gave a formula. One, when you announced yourself as a goal-getter. So the first thing that you already had in your mind is that you want a sense of stability.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, but all along with you going through what you was going through, you was able to build that stability block, blah, blah, which to me it represents trial by trial, error by error. You was able to place another level of stability to now it has gotten you to this RN. Now you are happily married and you have 7 beautiful children. You was able to go against the odds where many of us would look, keep it real, would have gave up.
That's right. True.
Gave that's up. True. Through all of these different experiences, but I want to kind of, and then, you know, in your story, because I'm in your story, a part of your story, but I also know the story, you know, we duplicate those things, what we go through. So you witnessed this in your home and you duplicated it throughout your journey, right? Mm-hmm. Of the different ups and downs of life. Where and are you in the healing process? Did you go through a healing? It's 2 questions. Are you in a process and did you go through a process of healing? Take us to, if that's a yes, show us how did you start to come through this where you found time to, you know, heal on purpose?
Honestly, Sister Naira, it's you're going to always find things to heal from, you know. So I can't to sit here and say that I'm completely healed from everything that I've been through in my life would be understatement. Like, I mean, I would be overstating right. That I'm healed. I'm saying that I'm everything's good and perfect. That wouldn't be true. So I continue to heal myself by recreating who I am as an individual.
Hold on, y'all. She says she has to recreate herself. That's a part of the journey. Okay, I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. I recreate myself. Who I am as an individual. So not allowing things to lay dormant in me, but deal with them case by case to it's against all odds, you know, like when things come up in my life, because in life, and not to jump around, but in life, you're going to have learning lessons, and those lessons, nothing under the moon, as my grandmother would say, or under the sun is new. So you're going to revisit those events to see what you have learned from those events in your life, one way or another. So for me, I continue to, like I said, recreate myself or re-identify who Crystal is as an individual in order for me to succeed or in order for me to grow as a person. So healing is always going to be a part of my life. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm going to ever be completely healed from things that I have been through, but I would not let it be, it would not hold me captive or it would not suppress me. I would grow from it. So, you know, every time that I go through a situation in life and in those things that I've been through are sparked or recreated in my life, then I learn from it. I've learned from it and I continue to move, you know.
Beautiful. Let me ask you this, Crystal. How mm-hmm. does forgiveness play a part in this process?
Forgiveness is
like for you, how does
it really it goes hand in hand with healing?
Okay.
Because you can't sit and say, okay, honestly, if a person don't forgive people or let go of things, then they're the one that's living in confusion or anger or being tormented by the event or the sequence of events that have happened in their life. So I've learned to say, I could forgive. I'm not going to forget, but I have forgiven individuals for things that have happened in my life or has happened or is happening in my life. To say, okay, I'm not gonna allow you to restrict me by in my mind playing out what done happened between you and me or whatever. I don't forgive you. I'm moving on. You know, yes. Not holding grudges.
That's the key. You know, I've come to learn, Crystal. You know, you said something about the mind, and that plays a lot with you being a nurse and dealing with mental health. I'm pretty sure you deal with patients with mental health issues, but that which angers you controls you. Right. Mm. These are traps of the minds, right? These lower vibrational, these lower frequency emotions keeps us in bondage in our own mind. So I find that, and I ask that question because I find that the more that you can start to, and this is for the audience as well, you begin to forgive yourself for the process that you went through or you allowed yourself or even created for yourself, then it's easier to forgive other people. And then we begin to break the chains of confusion or pain that's in our mind. So that is just something that I wanted to just, you know, tap into when you raise that point about being trapped in your mind or somebody or something, situations keeping us in bondage in our minds. So if you are in a position where you're looking for growth and you want to develop beyond the physical material things, you got to be able to position yourself to move into the art of healing with forgiveness. Right?
Agreed.
Starting with forgiveness of self. And so, Crystal, I really want to take a moment and ask my engineer if he can, which is my husband, okay? If he can put your picture of your family, because we talked about these seven beautiful children. We talked about your husband. We talked about your journey. And I just want to show if we have it. This is the product, everybody. Okay, y'all see her and her husband, her family.
Yeah, we missing my baby. I got another picture of my baby and me. This is an older picture, but you know, that picture speaks value because I want to talk a little bit about that picture. And there go my baby. That's seven, y'all.
That's my seven.
That's seven. Oh Lord, that is seven. he got a personality. That's a whole show by itself. But I want to talk if he could put that one picture back up one more time with all of my kids and my husband. So my husband, you know, he is everything to me. He came in my life when I had five children. So all the children around me, except for the one that I'm holding, was not his biological children. Just the baby is. And you know, he came in my life when I was at a very low point in my life, but he was a bachelor. He didn't have no children. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know how to raise children, I got to say. But he hung in there with me. You know, he hung in there through the trials and the tribulations of raising these kids from much younger than what we are on this picture, because I got his baby holding his firstborn in my arms. It was a very difficult time for him, but he's a very good man. He hasn't left my side. You know, now they grown and they up the age, but he's still, and it says a lot. You know, I know I'm jumping around, but it says a lot that when God send people in your life to be able to stabilize you. When I talk about stability, you know, if you see the sequence of events where I was trying to find that sense of wholeness in education or in relationships. I always kept myself moving into something to try to find where I belong. But he came in my life and he stabilized me to the sense of saying, you know what, no more. And we've been together for 15 years now. And honestly, you know, we got two beautiful boys together. And he stabilized me without having no more children, because he said, okay, how many more degrees you get? We ain't having no more kids. We done. So yes, our baby indeed is 10. So, you know, I just want to really acknowledge him and thank God for him. And, you know, marriage ain't easy. As we know, if you marry, you understand where I'm coming from. Relationships aren't easy, but anything worth having is worth fighting and working for. And that's what I want to say about my husband.
Absolutely. And thank you for that beautiful acknowledgement. You know, when you look at the repair of the Black family, you know, and understanding the importance of marriage. Mm-hmm. And many of us, we come into these ready-made families, right? They already built, you know, but it takes a special woman and a special man to come into a family and accept that ready-made family as their own and to continue to build and to grow with that family. That is truly the repair of the Black family. So blended families is a real topic. You know, how do you deal with, you know, coming into what this world looks down on as a ready-made family? You already got children, you know, but not only do you have to accept the woman or the man, but you got to accept these children and the parents that come along with that. So that's a whole nother show for a whole nother time, family. And maybe we'll address that as well on a different podcast. But you know, that's a jewel. That's an asset, right? When you look at assets and liabilities, that's an asset. So thank you for acknowledging your husband. That is very key. And as we are getting ready to wrap up this program, we've tapped into your childhood, your upbringing, your children, your schooling, and all these degrees that you have.
That's right.
And just the ability, you've given us a lot of you. You also are a business owner.
I am.
So I don't know how you maintain being a mother, a wife, set children. You work in the nursing field. You're a director of nursing, RN, and you also are a business owner. Okay, so let's go.
I am a spiritualist.
Yes, ma'am. Don't go ahead and talk about that. and that's a term that everybody is not really used to. You understand?
Absolutely.
So yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I am that person. I own a business by the name of Spiritual Seven. I have been blessed with the gift from God to be able to tap into certain energies, to be able to, you know, I do readings, I do all of the above. I help people both physically and spiritually, you know, and people will ask, well, you've been through all this, how could you be able to? That's the way God moved me. And honestly, when I opened my business up, this was against all odds. I was told, don't open no business. No, you don't need to be doing this, that, and the third. But when I made my mind up to do it, I moved in that direction. And that was the best thing I could have ever done in my life outside of having my children, my husband, and going to school. It's a sense of balance to be able to. I've always been a person to try to help people. So to be able to help people on that level is so rewarding. It's just unbelievable, because when people come to you for help, they come to you with the sense of trust and vulnerability. So they need that help and that guidance, and it don't come from me. I have to tell people this, because they would look at me as the individual. See, Crystal just exposed who Crystal was, right? But on a spiritual note, and what I own with my business is a whole nother level of who Crystal truly is. And you know, with that being said, I am truly blessed to be able to tap into spirituality and be able to understand spirituality and be able to go back to our original culture of spirituality and bring it out to the universe and bring it out to people and let them understand what's good for them, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, Spiritual Seven, that's...
Do you have a picture of her business? As well, I'm not really sure if we have a picture of the business. And you know, thank you for even sharing that aspect, because you got to be very vulnerable to even, okay, that's her business, Spiritual Seven. So definitely, yes. Crystal, we want people to be able to just contact you on whatever level, you know, spiritual, mental, emotionally,
school.
You know,
school. I'm a motivator. I want for others what I want for myself. So if I want to have something in life, I want y'all to have something in life. You know, I've always been that person to want to help. And my mom, I get that spirit from my mother. You know, she's just that person. If you ever met my mother in person, you know that she, one minute she might be mad as ever, then next minute she's like, no, I could do it. I'm going to help you. Don't worry. I'm going to help you. That's her favorite words to say. And I am that person. And we genuine about what we do and how we do and how we treat people. Because one thing in this world that I've learned, even going through spirituality, is that karma. You build your own karma, good and bad. You know, you do good to people, good come back to you. You do bad to people, bad come back to you tenfold. So with that being said, me as an individual, I just want my karma to be good. That's why I always try to pay it forth. And whatever I could do to help anybody in this universe or in this world while I'm here, I'm going to help you. And if it's healing on purpose, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Help you heal on purpose.
Okay. That's my sister. That's my baby sister right there. Okay.
Yes, I am.
With that being said, give us three things that you want the listening audience, three steps that one can take in their life right now, based upon your story, against all odds, that one can truly say, you know what, I listened to that podcast and I'm going to walk away from that podcast. I'm listening. When I put my phone down, I turn my computer off, I can apply this in my life. Three steps against all odds.
First step is to live in your own truth.
Ooh, come on now.
You have to live in your own truth. You can't, don't do it for nobody else. Do it for yourself. You know, you trying to live and be, because you'll always disappoint people. But if you look within yourself and live within yourself, accept all your faults, correct your faults. Don't listen to what nobody else is saying. You know what's wrong with you. Live in your own truth. That's step one. Step two, I would definitely say treat others. I ain't gonna say how you want to be treated, because everybody don't want to be treated right.
Wait, say that one more time. Hold on. Come on. Come on.
I'm not gonna say treat others how you want to be treated, because everybody don't want to be treated right. But what I am gonna say is that what you want out of the universe, because everybody wants something good, you know. So if you want good, that's what I'm gonna say. You got to treat people good. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to say, okay, in this universe, in this world, if I want $1 million, I got to give out. And I don't mean physically money, but it could be your energy, good times, you know, treating people with respect, you know, honoring people.
I'm taking that as put in of what you want to get out.
Put in what you want to get out.
Okay, put in what you want to get out, okay?
That's good. Thank you. You articulated that. I've been talking for hours. I don't know how my sister, you know, I gotta say this. This is a lot of work. I thought nursing was a lot of work, but boy, I sit on this podcast, you got told. No, you know, talking ain't my thing. I talk, but I don't talk like this. So,
right.
Yeah, thank you for helping.
I'm the talker, okay?
That's the talker of the family. And I appreciate that. Put in what you want to get out.
Yeah. Okay. What's the third step?
And the third step is definitely put God first, mm-hmm, in everything that you do.
Okay.
You know, right. you can't leave out, and you know, and I'm speaking to the universe. So I don't know who does or does not believe in God, but I'm just saying a higher creator or whatever you believe in, you know. Believe in it 100%. Don't half believe in things. You know, if you believe in whatever you believe in it 100%.
100.
Okay. Don't have one foot in and one foot out of anything that you do, because then you're going to be half doing whatever you're trying to do. So that's always right. Be fully invested. That's what I want to say.
Hold on. Let me write that down. Fully invested. Okay.
You got to be fully invested in whatever you choose to do in this world. Be fully invested. You know, 100%.
That makes me think about my grandmother, may Allah be pleased with her. Before she left the world, she said, you know, whatever you're going to believe in it 100%. So
that's right.
Believe all the way. So absolutely. So be fully invested. Wow, Crystal, you have really dropped some jewels on us in this audience. And I want to ask you, what's next for Crystal Green? What's next for you?
Well, I can't wait to this part of the interview game. Well, no, I'm just joking. What's next for me? You know, I've had, the last 2 weeks has been very challenging for me. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. You know, I, like as of now, I am a nurse practitioner, as we all know, but my primary role was working as a director of nursing. I've been doing that for the last 10 years of my life. And this is, if anybody know what a director of nursing do, we the head of the nursing department. So all of the stress come right to us, you know, so answering your phone all the time, like being on call, etc. But I have recently embarked on an opportunity to be a full-time nurse practitioner. So I stepped out of one job today, officially, and stepped into a new role today, officially. So that's one thing about nursing. So that's next for me, is to be a full-time nurse practitioner. I'm going to continue with my doctorate's degree in nursing. So I'm currently in school. I have less than a year left. I have a grandson on the way. So it's my third grandchild. I hate it that I didn't mention that, but that was an addition to my family that I have a granddaughter and two additional soon to be grandsons. But more so what's next to me is for next for me is definitely to become more closer to my family. You know, not to get off subject, but recently losing a nephew to the streets, being shot at the age of 15 and dying, it made me reflect on where I'm losing time with my own children, you know, and that we can't get too caught up into these worldly things. And my sister would always tell me, what good is the man to gain the whole world but loses their soul? And that always played back into my head that, Crystal, sometimes you just got to slow down and move strategically, but move differently as well. So I've asked God to guide me in my steps, order my steps, and to allow me to have the autonomy over my life to be able to move where I could be able to have more time for my children and for my family. So family first, really. You know, I'm so tired of like giving my life to these jobs and different things like that. So what's next for me is to definitely get closer to God, get closer with my children, to transition into this role as a full-time nurse practitioner and to finish my doctorate's degree.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's one of our quotes. My daddy, our daddy, will always say, you know, what good is it a man to save the whole world and lose his own soul? So that's what I want to leave my audience with tonight. You know, what good is it to chase after the world and your soul is not fulfilled, right? Mm-hmm. Life is about fulfillment. And I can say in the words of one of my mentors, Les Brown, you got to rob the grave of your gifts, skills, and talents. You know, don't leave this world shoulda, woulda, coulda, foulda, no. You want to live a life of fulfillment. And whatever that fulfillment looks like to you, be 100% committed. Be, you know, fully invested. But if you are in alignment with the divine creator, then it's blessing upon blessings upon blessings, you know, and whatever that looks like for you, however you practice your faith, walk in that, stand in that, practice it fully, be fully committed. Crystal, I want to thank you so much for just your vulnerability, your transparency, you know, and I hope and pray that this broadcast will serve for somebody intentionally healing on purpose. What we're striving to do here is to eradicate generational traumas, dramas, limiting beliefs, and self-sabotage and behavior patterns. Every single person that's on this podcast tonight, you have a story. Your story can change lives. Your stories can transform lives. And you got to be, I say, you got to be more vocal to tell your story with the intention that somebody going to hear your power voice and somebody is going to make a new decision because you told your story. And so tonight, with you showing up and telling your story, we change lives tonight. And if you're listening tonight and your life was impacted by this podcast, go ahead and drop it in the comment section. Let Crystal know that her story made a difference on Heal on Purpose. Okay. I don't see any questions in the comments. If nobody don't have any questions, then Crystal, once again, thank you. I'm gonna leave some announcements. Oh, how can they reach you? What is, do you have a website or like, how can one reach you?
Right now, the only, you can reach me through Facebook. A lot of people go on my Facebook and that's one of the methods of reaching me. Also, through Facebook at the moment.
Okay, Facebook. Reach me. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, yeah, y'all go ahead and drop it in the comments as I make these announcements. Don't leave. We have some very powerful announcements that's coming up right now. And let Crystal know she still can see y'all comments. Let her know that her story made a difference. Once again, you have been listening to Sister Nayira with Heal on Purpose podcast. We want you to go ahead and like the podcast, share it. Go ahead and like our YouTube, download Heal on Purpose, Sister Nayira on all major podcasting platforms. We have stories upon stories. If you have not gotten the book, Repair of the Black Family Anthology, we encourage you right now to go ahead and get the book. You can get it live on Amazon. You also can get it on my website. at www.repairoftheblackfamily.com. This is a powerful book with the visionary author. That's right, me, Sister Nayera, 33 powerful authors telling their stories on how to eradicate generational traumas, dramas, limiting beliefs, and self-sabotaging behavior patterns. We have 99 suggested solutions that if you apply the solutions, you are going to get the results, okay? This is the healing balm to the Black family and the whole of humanity. Next up on the podcast, guess what, y'all? Guess what? We have the Repair of the Black Family. We have our Ignition Transformational Life Coaching Retreats. Our next retreat is going to Belize. That's right. You can get yourself a passport. Get out of the shackles of your mind that thinking that you cannot get out of this country. Okay. It's time to go to Belize with Sister Nayera Transformational Life Coaching Retreat. Sister Nayera and Brother David, we are going to Belize March 17th through the 23rd to help you heal on purpose up close and personal. Go ahead and text 727-623-5555 so that you can get more information on how to unleash your passion, your power, and your purpose to take a deeper dive into your healing process and eradicate these generational traumas. With that being said, the next retreat, we going back to the motherland, okay? If you can't make March, it's okay. It's okay. We got something else for you. June 2nd, 100 people going to Egypt. Go big or go bigger with Sister Nayera and Brother David, okay? We're going back to the motherland. Do not be a sideline player on this. You want to go ahead and get in. Text Sister Nayera at 727-623-5555. We're going to go ahead and get that information for you to go on this retreat. And that last but not least, we have the heal. I see my godfather over there. Okay. We have
shout out to my godfather.
Shout out to our godfather. All right. So last but not least, we have the heal on purpose t-shirts. Wear your healing on your chest, okay? You can go ahead and get your affirmational shirts. Words are power. There is so much power in the word. And the more you can see it, the more you can believe it, and the more that you can have it. So you can go to our website, get these beautiful, powerful shirts, speak out to the universe, be fully committed to your own healing process, and go to www.repairoftheblackfamily.com. I'm going to stop saying the last but not least, but this is the last one. If you want some up close and personal coaching with Sister Nayera, you want new results in your life for the 2023, you want someone who can help you to identify and help you to get rid of those things that no longer serve you, guess what? You can be a part of my group coaching program. It's every second Saturday of the month, $49.99. And I can tell you this, you will not regret being a part of this powerful program. Now, you can go to www.repairoftheblackfamily.com. Go ahead and get you some of this good teaching with your sister, Sister Nayera. Thank you all so much. Crystal, I love you.
I love you more. I do want to say one last thing, Sister Nayera, and I must acknowledge my godfather while I'm on here, because he has done so much in my life. When I say changing my life and guidance, I would be wrong for not acknowledging my godfather and thanking him for everything that he has done for not only me, but my family as well. So shout out to Laz. Thank you, Godfather. We love you.
Thank you. All right. So with that, thank you. With that being said, let's go ahead and roll it out. Thank y'all. Love y'all so much. Peace.
Peace.